And how often that can be the case when it comes to our Christian lives, our heart is not in it. Often we can find that in our place of Bible study, that when we come to the Word of God, our heart is not in it. And we come and we read, we have to do it, we want to tick the box, we've read our Bible today, but our heart isn't in it. And dear believer, you should never approach the Word of God that way. It has to be done in order for me to go on with my day. It has to be done because I have to maintain my relationship with God. It's not about doing the Bible study. It's not about doing the Bible reading. It's doing it with that right attitude and that right heart that God would speak to your soul.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Hello and welcome to our program today. We're delighted that you've taken time to
listen to us, whether you're at home or in the car. We thank you for tuning in, and we trust that the ministry of God's Word through Let the Bible Speak Today will indeed be a rich blessing to your soul. We are going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the sermon entitled, How You Can Be a Godly Influence. How you can be a godly influence. On the Lord's Day that this sermon was preached, we had a baptismal service as well of a young man within our congregation. And how encouraging that was. And I was thinking all that week of what to preach on at that evening service. I'd attended a funeral of a godly man. And while I knew members of his family, I didn't personally know him. But I was left in no doubt of his godly nature, his godly character, and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in light of the baptism and this funeral service, I was thinking along those lines, how can you be a godly influence? At the end of your life, what will others say about you? Will they say, here was a godly man, a godly woman, even a godly young person, who knew the Lord, who desired to live for him, and here it is the way in which they were a great influence to me and a great influence in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be that influence in the lives of others for Christ, that we would know Christ and live for Christ. Our text is Joshua chapter 24, the verse 15, the very end of that verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Well, let's stand to sing. We'll sing verse 3 of 524. What have I to dread? It is a true saying that every life leaves a mark. Every life leaves a mark. The longer that you live, the more people you come in contact with, the more lives that you touch. Some will follow your example, perhaps. Others will remember your words. Children will imitate your habits. Co-workers will notice your character. And of course, there are negativities when we consider those things as well. And the subject, the topic of influence, was upon my mind this week when I was thinking of this service tonight. And I thought of the importance of being a godly influence. My thoughts were directed by attending a funeral this week in which there was recollection after recollection of a man who left a good example, who lived a godly life, who was an example in his family and in the church in which he worshipped. And those thoughts and those comments and those stories made me think of the importance of what we leave behind. Are we desirous, dear congregation, tonight that we leave behind an influence that is godly? A godly example to others. A godly example that is missed. A godly example that when we have left this scene of time, others will remember and look to and use for their encouragement in their spiritual walk. What kind of influence are you leaving behind? That's the thrust of what I want to speak on this evening. What kind of influence are you leaving behind? Will anybody be able to say of you, after you leave this scene of time, that you led them closer to Christ, that you encouraged them in their walk with God? It applies to those who are young. What influence, young people, will your life be on others? It applies to those who are old. What influence have you been to others? There is still time to change that influence. There's time to forsake a good influence, and therefore you must always keep your heart upon the Lord. There is time to change a bad influence into a godly influence. And when we think of these things, we are reminded of the words of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and the verse 15. These words were not spoken in the prime of youth, but they were spoken in old age. Joshua was an old man. He was coming to the end of his life. He was 110 years old. Some of the children think that I'm old. Well, Joshua is more than double my age, nearly triple my age. He was old. He was coming to the end of his life, and he gives a final charge. He desires to give one last segment of godly influence to the children of Israel, and he says to them, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house," this is his determination, this is his desire tonight as we consider this passage. His desire was that for me and my house we will serve the Lord. "This is where I stand," Joshua says. "This is where my colors, as it were, are nailed. This is where my flag and my banner stands. I stand for the Lord. I stand on His side. I stand for the truth of God's word, and I'm not ashamed of that. And that is my desire for me and for my family." But Joshua says, as he challenges the people of Israel, this is something that he's implying. This should be the desire of every family in Israel, that they should serve the Lord. It is an important subject. It is a vital subject. Often we can lose sight of this. And we can lose sight of the importance of being a godly influence. Sometimes it can be just about us and how we're getting on and what we achieve. And often we don't worry about others. As long as things go well for us, others, they're in their own boat, sailing their own course. It doesn't matter to me whether they sink or whether their boat runs upon the rocks, or whatever might happen to them, as long as I'm okay. Dear believer, as one who is part of the Church of Christ, your desire should be to serve the Lord, but to set that godly example to others in serving the Lord. And the question comes then this evening, how can you be a godly influence? How can you be a godly influence? Well, firstly, we see that you should fear the Lord by rejecting idols. Fear the Lord by rejecting idols. Notice what verse 14 says. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." There is to be a fear of the Lord. There is to be a reverence of God. And that is something that we find lacking in society today. And even in the Christian church, there is a lack of fear of God. When we think of the fear of God, it is a fear concerning the reverence of God. We have a respect for God. We will respect what He says, what He commands. We will obey Him. That is what Joshua is saying. He's encouraging the people to obey God, to respect His commandments. And often in this generation, as in many other generations, we do not see that. In light of what we said this morning, fearing the Lord makes us consider our sin. We're confounded by our sin. We're ashamed of our sin. Fearing the Lord creates a desire within us that we would forsake sin and live for the Lord. Fearing the Lord means that we will, as Joshua points out here, forsake idols, reject idols. And to fear the Lord is to place your trust in Him. It is to love Him. It is to honor Him. It is to respect Him. And the fear of the Lord in Scripture is often linked with putting away idols. What is it to have an idol in your life? It is showing that you do not fear God. The commandments teach us that we are to have no other gods before the God of heaven, and therefore having idols within our lives does not show our fear or respect of God, but that we are indifferent, and that we do not care regarding God. What God thinks of us and idols. You cannot fear God and tolerate idols. Joshua here does not say, well, serve the Lord. That is the most important. And if you want to keep a few of those old gods around, just in case, well, feel free. He demands exclusive worship. He focuses their attention upon the God of heaven. And dear congregation, if you desire tonight to be a godly influence upon others, you first must be godly yourself. You must have that right standing with God. You must have that relationship with Christ. You must forsake the idols of this world for the God of heaven. Joshua speaks about the gods that were on the other side of the flood that his father served, the gods of the Amorites. He speaks about gods of the past, the gods which your father served, the gods of the present culture, the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. All of these gods represented temptations for the children of Israel. And we know from history that as the nation progressed from the account in Joshua into the book of Judges and into Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, we know the path that the nation took. It was a path into sin. It was a path into iniquity. It was a path in which they did not reject that which was false, but they embraced it on many, many occasions. We can think of the gods of the current culture. We can think today of the gods of our culture and cultural pressure. To fear God, we have to renounce those things. The Savior said, no man can serve two masters. John said in 1 John, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And you may say, well, Pastor, for me to be a godly influence, to love the Lord and forsake idols, it's very, very easy. Here's the keys to my house. You can go in and you can look under the bed and in the closet and open the drawers and you go into the basement and the garage. You'll not find one single idol. There's nothing of wood or silver or stone. I can guarantee you that if there's an idol in my house, somebody snuck in and planted it to get me into trouble. Today we think of idols as those gods of silver and stone. But idols are so much more, and idolatry means so much more than simply bowing down to something that has been carved by men. We can think of the idol of self, where our personal desires outweigh God's word and God's will in our own estimation. We live for self. We live to enjoy ourselves. We live for the enjoyments and the pleasures of sin. Our self comes first. We can think of the idol of reputation, where fear of man overrides the fear of God. And therefore, we will not stand for God. We will not obey God, because reputation means much more to us. It's an idol that we put before the God of heaven. We can think of the idol of family approval, where parents or children are more important than God himself. The idol of pleasure and entertainment. We can think of those in this world who engage in all these substances that are found in this world, alcohol, drugs, all of these things, seeking pleasure, seeking to have a good time. And all of those things become an idol that takes their time and attention off the God of heaven. Something very simple, a novel, a sport, whatever it might be, can be an idol in your life. An idol that takes your eyes and heart away from God. What is the attitude to be of the people of God to idols? The Apostle Paul in Acts 17 looked upon the idolatry of Athens, and it said that he was stirred in his spirit when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He saw the sin, and he saw that idolatry, the worshiping of all of these gods, the living for self, all the idols that this city had, It did nothing for the souls that were found therein. It could not save. It could not redeem them. It could not mend that broken relationship with God due to sin. But the gospel of Christ, the message of Christ, the work of Christ could change that. And Paul was moved when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and he preached Christ. He preached Christ. And that is to be our attitude. We're to be moved when we see those who are given to idolatry. We're to pray for them. We're to witness for them. But we are not to become like them, because we have been delivered by Christ. We have been saved by Christ. There are many good things that we can do in life. Many good and wholesome hobbies that we can have in life. But they can become an idol. 2 weeks ago, we spoke to the children. I hope they haven't forgotten what we spoke on. But we brought some Lego in. And Lego is an interesting pastime. It can be a constructive pastime, constructive for the mind. But it can become an obsession. And on social media, there are those who give tours of their house. And there's Lego everywhere. My house isn't on one of those videos. But they go through all of the rooms in their house. They go down to the basement. There's shelves everywhere. There's Lego models everywhere. There's more Lego in there than probably there is in the Lego factory. Tons and tons of Lego. And something as simple and as innocent and as fun as Lego can become an idol. It can take time. It can take money away from what you need to do. Is it wrong to sit and build a model? No. But is it wrong to allow it to take over your life so that you lose out with God and God is moved into second place or third place or whatever it might be? Yes, it is an idol. It is an idol. It doesn't have to be a god of wood, or silver, or stone. It could be a god of plastic. It could be a god of whatever you imagine. The one who desires to be a godly influence must reject idolatry. Idolatry does not save. Maybe this evening you have a problem with idolatry. Maybe you have a growing influence with this problem of idolatry. Oh, that you would turn from that and you would seek the Lord and put Christ first within your life. Secondly, we see that to be a godly influence, you must serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. You must serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Moving back to verse 14 again. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. This simply means you are to serve God from your heart. You're not to serve God on the surface. You're not to go through the motions. How many of us know that when we go to the place of work, sometimes we're tired. Sometimes it's a Friday. Sometimes we're looking forward to the weekend and that escape, going to the lake, whatever it might be. And on the Friday at work, we go through the motions. Our heart isn't in it. We want to do it as quick as we can in order to get home. We try to do things as efficiently as we can. Maybe we run an autopilot and try to get everything done and cleared up. Our heart isn't in it. Our heart is looking to other things. And how often that can be the case when it comes to our Christian lives, our heart is not in it. Often we can find that in our place of Bible study. That when we come to the Word of God, our heart is not in it. And we come and we read, we have to do it. We want to tick the box. We've read our Bible today, but our heart isn't in it. And dear believer, you should never approach the Word of God that way. It has to be done in order for me to go on with my day. It has to be done because I have to maintain my relationship with God. It's not about doing the Bible study. It's not about doing the Bible reading. It's doing it with that right attitude and that right heart that God would speak to your soul. For you. Thank you.
Spurgeon brings us today to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 3. His fruit was sweet to my taste. Faith in the scripture is spoken of under the emblem of all the senses. It is sight. Look unto me and be ye saved. It is hearing. Hear and your soul shall live. Faith is smelling. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Faith is spiritual touch. By this faith the woman came behind and touched the hem of Christ's garment. And by this we handle the things of the good word of life. Faith is equally the Spirit's taste. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my lips. Except a man eat my flesh, saith Christ, and drink my blood, there is no life in him. This taste is faith in one of its highest operations. One of the first performances of faith is hearing. We hear the voice of God not with outward ear alone, but with the inward ear. We hear it as God's word, and we believe it to be so. That is the hearing of faith. Then our mind looked upon the truth as it is presented to us. That is to say, we understand it. We perceive its meaning. That is the scene of faith. Next, we discover its preciousness. We begin to admire it and find how fragrant it is. That is faith in its smell. Then we appropriate the mercies which are prepared for us in Christ. That is faith in its touch. Hence follow the enjoyments, peace, delight, communion, which are faith in its taste. Any one of these acts of faith is saving. To hear Christ's voice as the sure voice of God in the soul will save us. But that which gives true enjoyment is the aspect of faith wherein Christ, by holy taste, is received unto us, and made by inward and spiritual apprehension of his sweetness and preciousness to be the food of our souls. It is then we sit under his shadow with great delight and find his fruit sweet to our taste. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.